Good morning again. What time is it? No, seriously, I'm asking you. What time is it? I failed with my stopwatch. But I'm asking you what time it is for a reason. I want you to confirm the correct time of day, in order that we may synchronize our watches. You can either make a mental note, and I'm going to write this down by using several items of timekeeping. Or you can write it down. So my purpose is to conduct a demonstration. And the current time is 11:14. How many of you looked at your wristwatch on your left hand? Can I see a show of hands? Okay, good. How many of you looked at your right hand? Glad there was someone here. How many of you looked at your pocket watch? That was me. How many looked at your phone? Technically, your phone is not a wristwatch. I could have asked you to look at your chronometer for the current time, but it's not a word that we normally use. But using the term wristwatch, you understood what I meant. The majority of the population is right-handed. This means that they wear their wristwatch on their non-dominant hand, their left wrist. Is the left wrist the right wrist to wear your wristwatch on? Say that three times real fast. We could debate the pros and cons of which is the correct wrist to wear your watch. Which now begs a question. What pocket, front left or right, do you carry your phone? Or if your phone is in your purse, what side do you carry it? Left or right? You decide that one. Research now shows that the United States is deep into the digital age, with data showing Americans check their phones 96 times a day. That's one every 10 minutes, according to a global tech care company. You mean to check their time? No. Checking the time is just a small part or small fraction of the smartphone usage. Pew Research Center survey finds that more than 8 in 10 U.S. adults, 86%, get news from a smartphone, computer, or tablet, all digital platforms. Americans aged 50 and older use both television and digital devices for news. While the younger age groups have almost fully turned to the digital devices as a platform to access news. There are two common details within these preliminary statements, and that is, one, telling of time, and two, the awareness of what is going on around us. I welcome several titles for today's message. One was simply Timex, but that seemed to be a generational term for timekeeping. I thought about Apple, not the fruit, the digital device, but again, trending towards a generational term. I arrived at a one-size-fits-all title. What time is it? What time is it is an interrogative sentence. A sentence that allows you to gather information and clear up confusion. Simply a sentence that asks a question. We all get the same 24 hours each day. Therefore, I ask the question again. What time is it? My purpose today is to answer that interrogative question, not in regard to the measurement of the time of day, but specifically the time duration regarded as belonging to this present life as distinct from the life to come, corresponding eternal life. Today's title is, What Time Is It? To introduce our direction today, this message will be in three parts, all with a one-word action statement. Number one, watch. Number two, ready. And number three, worthy. This day, the Feast of Trumpets, pictures future events, coming worldwide calamities, plagues, destruction unleashed on mankind like never before, and good news. Jesus Christ will return to this earth. That's a guarantee. To save humanity from self-destruction and to rule mankind with righteous government. The number one need for humanity right now is the return of Jesus Christ, represented by this day, the Feast of Trumpets. So how? How can we be personally invested in this feast day? The natural desire for mankind is to figure out when. When will Jesus Christ return? When the disciples got Jesus alone on the Mount of Olives, they asked him, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age?" Notice they asked him, when? Jesus knew that they, his disciples, and us as well, would want to know when he's coming back to this earth. Matthew 24. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. We share with the early disciples the knowledge that Jesus was born to be a king and would come back to this earth to set up the age of the kingdom of God. So we ask again, when? The end time prophecies are described throughout the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament. The prophet Daniel in chapter 12, verse 1, speaks of a time of trouble such as never was, such there was a nation. The history of man is a case study in mankind's destructive nature aimed at his fellow man. We can chronicle man's actions by way of world wars, but as well as the warring occurring in our city streets today. This conduct cannot even be compared to what is coming in the future. A time of trouble such as never was is coming. Here in Matthew 24, there is a prophecy in Jesus' own words revealing this time of trouble. Matthew 24, verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. This passage is representing how we are personally invested in the return of Jesus Christ. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Why does God give us prophecy? Short answer, because He loves us. Because God wants us to repent, to change our sinful, destructive nature. Repentance means not only to stop sinning, instead obeying God's commandments and living a godly life. He wants us to enter the blessings of His way of life for eternity. Central to our instructions, we are to watch. We are to watch our own personal lives. Let's focus on this first action step, watch. In the English language, this word, watch, is a verb, meaning to be alert, to be on the lookout. If I yell, watch out, you might duck down by looking around. You would be on alert, anticipating something. We will often say, heads up, to call attention to an impending danger. Let's notice how Jesus used this word in Matthew 24, verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. This passage definitely answers the question, when will Jesus return? No one knows. Let's notice verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. If no one knows, what is the reason to watch? Explanation? Because this is a command. This is an imperative sentence that expresses a direct command. Watch, therefore, is a direct command. I never fully understood the direct command to watch, but I do now. This is consistent in the Gospels of Mark and Luke as well. By way of introduction, Mark 13, verse 33, I'll just read it for you. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. In the Gospel of Mark, he includes prayer with the command to watch. Within Luke's Gospel account, Luke 21, verse 36, we read, watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. There is so much detail within the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke concerning the coming of the Son of Man. And we can see our personal investment in these three action words, watch, ready, and worthy. So we're commanded to watch. Watch what? What are we to watch? The Greek words translated watch, they mean to watch, to keep awake, be circumspect or careful, be attentive, be ready, be cautious. All these translations define a one action word, warning. to watch out. Recorded in the synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are events detailing the signs of the times and the end of the age of man. These prophecies identify events prior to the return of Jesus Christ. Are these events clearly warnings? Most definitely. Religious deception, wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and so many more that we could recall from memory. And what exactly do these warnings mean for church members? Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, and what follows are warnings, not only for the Sardis church era, but can also be applied to all the church eras. Verse 2, be watchful, again that word, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your work perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have what you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. What we have just read in Revelation 3, verses 1 through 3, are timeless instructions for God's people, spoken by Jesus Christ. And these are warnings. We are to follow these directions by watching our own personal lives. This is our personal investment in the future kingdom. Let's review some examples. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26. This section of Scripture details Jesus' heartfelt prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before his arrest. Verse 38. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me, meaning keep awake. And now in verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And notice this warning in verse 41. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch that you don't fall into temptation. We as Christians should keep an eye on news and trends as well as our own spiritual condition. We possess a broad overview of prophetic events. The major events to happen in the Middle East. The union of 10 nations or groups of nations that will be based in Europe. The threats to human existence by nuclear warfare. Humanity's moral decline. Of these four general categories to watch, only one we have a direct influence on. Which one? It is humanity's moral decline. Can we change the world in its direction? No, we cannot. But admittedly, we can do a small fraction. It is ourselves. Again, this is our personal investment in the kingdom. Philippians chapter 1. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. This is Paul's prayer for us. Begin reading in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So what exactly is Paul telling us to do? To summarize verse 9 through 11, Paul is teaching us to watch ourselves, to watch our spiritual condition. Verse 11 again, being filled with the fruits of righteousness to the glory and praise of God. This is the complete opposite of moral decline. According to a 2021 Gallup poll, Americans continue to rate the United States' moral values negatively. Overwhelmingly, they agree that they are getting worse. And you and I would agree. 47% of Americans currently rate U.S. moral values as poor. The lower standards of moral behavior creates new but lower criteria for ethics and justice. I would like to repeat that phrase again. The lower standards of moral behavior creates new but lower criteria for ethics and justice. Simply, society no longer expects its members to preserve their commitment to the very basic moral norms, as in moral traditions, such as what your parents and your grandparents taught. Let me share with you a few examples of moral decay. Mass shootings, racial hatred, social injustice, incivility, meaning uncivil behavior, fraud. What exactly is fraud? From the dictionary, wrongful or criminal deception intended to result in financial or personal gain. Wrongful or criminal deception, such as bribery, identity theft, tax evasion. Moral sense is when you know right from wrong. The lines defining right from wrong are less recognizable as society advances. You, brethren, see those lines. All the while, they are unclear to others. Why? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Begin reading in verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. These religious leaders, they did not believe Jesus was the Messiah that the prophets pointed to. And he answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair. It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. they could not discern the serious social and spiritual conditions of the world around them. Can we? One reason that we can discern the following, what we can discern, is because we follow Christ's command to watch. Still, this is only step one to watch. Step two in our personal investment is to be ready. To be ready for what this day pictures, the return of Jesus Christ. Today, the Feast of Trumpets is represented by a declarative sentence, a sentence that states a fact. When we read passages of Scripture that are written in red letters, we consider this to be the highest level of fact. These are Jesus Christ's own words. Let's read one such passage. This is the second last Scripture in the Bible, Revelation 22. Turn with me to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Second last Scripture, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, notice, these are in red letters, these are Jesus Christ's own words, surely I am coming quickly. Even so, come Lord Jesus. This is a fact and a promise. Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And notice also the word quickly. We reviewed earlier that Jesus Christ commands us to watch in preparation for his return. He also commands us to do something else. Turn back with me again to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and in verse 44, again, these are in red letters. Matthew 24, verse 44, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. The instruction is to be ready, spiritual readiness. I have to ask myself, how urgent am I? If Christ's return is very soon, we double our efforts. If his return is delayed, human nature is that to slack off. And there are many scriptures that warn us of that very thing. Notice this parable in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 45. The heading for this section is listed, Faithful Servant and Evil Servant. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Who his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Doing what? Being faithful with what he has been given to do. Verse 47, assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Verse 50. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour that he is not aware of. Both of these servants were caught unawares by the return of their master. There was no warning given. The one servant was called faithful and wise. Why? because he was doing the job that was given to him and performing that job faithfully. The other servant was called evil. Why? He thought his master's return was a long way off. He let human nature dictate his lack of focus instead of God's Spirit, leading him what he knew what to do. This is a matter of faith. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." All things continue. Life goes on. The return of Jesus Christ is a long way off. I received a personal message from these two passages that I want to share with you. From Matthew 24, my master's delaying his coming. And 2 Peter 3, verse 4, all things continue as they were. Today is our 42nd Feast of Trumpets, and we have shared plenty of instruction concerning this day. When we read Matthew 24, verse 15, most of us, or all of us, understand what this passage is saying, and I will just read it for us. Mr. Smith introduced this in his sermon last Sabbath. Matthew 24, verse 15, we read, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." This is a prophetic event found in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 11. This event already has two historical fulfillments, as well as a future fulfillment. When daily sacrifices will be offered in Jerusalem and then cut off. This prophecy is significant because it represents an important time marker, signaling the nearness of the return of Jesus Christ. My flawed personal reasoning was this. When I see the daily sacrifices resume in Jerusalem, I had better get busy with my spiritual life. What does God think of my personal reasoning? Am I being a faithful servant or an evil servant? This sermon, it was intended for me. But the test for us is this. What kind of servant are we? Are we faithful in what God has called us to do, to watch and to be ready, to be urgent in our spiritual readiness? What does God want us to know about the future and what it holds personally? We have a glimpse of the storm that will precede Jesus Christ's return to this earth. We urgently desire God's kingdom to come, to end pain, suffering, and war. Not knowing the timing of his return can feel a bit unsettling. This parable of the faithful servant is teaching us to be faithful in the job we've been called to do. God has opened our minds to his truth, to his sure future. Scripture reminds us to be even more diligent, to make our calling and election sure. To own our calling. To identify with this faithful servant. The Son of Man is coming at an hour that we do not expect. The question we must ask ourselves, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Several times this morning, I used the term personal investment in this feast day. What am I implying? I believe we all understand the term investment. Here's a sample definition. An investment is an asset or item accrued with the goal of generating income or recognition. In an economic outlook, an investment is the purchase of goods that are not consumed today, but are used in the future to generate wealth. Simply, not for today, but for the future. We all recognize this strategy. Still, there was one word in this definition of investment that struck me. Actually, made me stop and consider. Let's read again. An investment is an asset or item accrued with the goal of generating income or recognition. Recognition? Link to investment? From the dictionary, recognition is defined as acknowledgement or achievement. There are several persons today that do not need income simply because they have more than they could ever use. Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, Warren Buffett. The goal of generating income or recognition. Now I understand. In one of Jesus' kingdom parables, he articulates both investment and recognition. And we will see the clear association in this parable pointing to this Feast of Trumpets. Let's take a look. Matthew 25. This is the parable of the talents. We'll begin in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Verse 15, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And notice, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. To summarize this next portion of Scripture, the one who was given 5 talents made another 5. This was the return on the investment which with what the master gave him. The same occurred with the one given 2 talents. His return on the investment was 2 additional talents that the master gave him to increase its value and its worth. We have been given a gift by God. Our progress is not measured against one another. We are all God's servants. One is given 5, one is given 2, and one is given 1. God cares about what we are doing with what we have been given. Matthew 25, now in verse 18. But he who received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. He buried it. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The servant that doubled their starting amounts, their investment, both received the same recognition. Well done, good and faithful servant. The one who hid his talent in the ground, he buried it. He did not do anything with what he was given. And he was called a wicked and lazy servant. In this parable, the man traveling to a far country is Jesus Christ. He returns to settle with his servants, representing us, regarding what was given to them, or to us. This parable is teaching us to use whatever is given to us to prepare for the time of Jesus Christ's return. We are to watch not only world conditions, but most importantly, we are to watch our own spiritual conditions. To invest what the Eternal has given to us, His truth, and the time He has given us here on this earth to be ready for His return. This brings us to the third step in our personal investment in this feast day. Let's read Luke 21, verse 36 again. Luke 21, verse 36. Verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The one word from this passage is the word worthy. How can we be worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man? How does God communicate the answer? I am encouraged by what we read concerning the future in this book. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must surely take place. That was from Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. God has mercifully given us these signs to watch for prior to Jesus Christ's return, so that we will not be caught by surprise, as the majority of the world will be. We don't know the exact day or hour of Jesus Christ's return. That is why watching and being ready is very important. So in this context, what does worthy mean? In the marginal reference, worthy denotes having strength to escape. I'm going to use an excerpt from one of the kingdom parables as an aid to understand this word, worthy. This parable is about those who took the time to prepare and those who didn't. Those who took the time. We understand the symbol of oil representing God's Spirit. This is Matthew 25. This is the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Jesus said he used this teaching method, parables, to hide the meaning of his message from those who were not yet meant to understand. Yet. Still, we also read in Matthew 13, verse 16, speaking to the disciples, referring to this teaching method. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Do you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? We do. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. We understand from Scripture the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. The sleep was not what determined who was wise and who was foolish. They all slept. The one detail that set apart these two groups was the amount of oil they took. The foolish took only what was there in their lamps, what they thought was necessary. The wise brought extra. Their one job was to be ready. The 5 foolish came prepared, but not prepared enough. This parable is about those who took the time to prepare and those who didn't. We understand the symbol of oil representing God's Holy Spirit. The foolish asked the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." What causes our flame to burn out? Distractions, things of this world, temptation, to lose focus on things that matter. This oil, in this context, is a measure of how spiritually ready and prepared we are for the return of Jesus Christ. This oil is not a shareable resource. I can't share my readiness with you, and you can't share your readiness with me. And this is a warning. There will come a time when it is too late to build up our oil reserves. Our job in being ready and prepared is to build up our own oil reserves. How? God reveals the answer through these pages. Simply, we are to engage with the Word of God and put what it says into practice. This is our lifelong occupation. The wise were prepared to wait for as long as it takes. These are those who are worthy, who have the spiritual strength to last as long as it takes. This is our personal investment in this holy day. But let's notice again in Luke's account, Luke 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36. We have rehearsed this verse several times today, yet there is a clear-cut reference to this day in verse 36. Let's read. Verse 36, "Watch therefore and pray always." Jesus instructs us in the model prayer to pray, "Your kingdom come." "That you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." In biblical terms, to stand is a reference to a resurrection. To stand before the Son of Man will take place upon His return to this earth as He promised. "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Revelation 22, verse 12. The future fulfillment of this day will take place. Jesus Christ will return. All peoples who ever walked upon this earth will stand before Jesus Christ in a judgment. the overriding tragedy for any Christian is to give up, to throw away your investment. Let's conclude with one final scripture. Matthew 24. We have a job to do, and that is to prepare for Jesus Christ's coming. The Bible tells us what life will be like in a time period before Christ's return to earth, a time of trouble that has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. These are known as the end times. The time of man's rule will come to a close. I have a thought on this passage, Matthew 24, in verse 36. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father. I try to realize this event and how it might develop. This is a time coming in the near future, we hope. And this is my speculation only. A time in the future when God the Father will announce to His Son, Jesus Christ, it is time. A time when the world will not understand. Still, His elect, they will understand. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That was Matthew 24, verses 30 and 31. We observe this future event through three action words. Watch. Our job is to watch. And we watch world conditions as well as we watch our spiritual condition. We must watch and protect our state of readiness, protecting our oil reserves. And we are to watch and maintain our spiritual strength to be worthy to stand before the Son of Man. This day is a guarantee. Jesus Christ will return. I asked at the beginning, what time is it?